This is Memorial Day weekend. This is a part of the time that we celebrate great sacrifices that people have made for our freedoms, that people have made for us in general. And we certainly want to thank the Lord for those who have made such sacrifice to give freedom all around this world, as a matter of fact, and those who are currently involved in bringing freedom to individuals. God is at work, and He's doing great things, and He blesses us in so many ways. And this morning, I would like us to consider some of the blessings of God as we look at several different passages of Scripture, or verses of Scripture, if you will. But I'd like to ask, as we get started with this, if there's someone who would be willing to just kind of shout out something that is a blessing to you as an individual. Just go right ahead. What is a blessing God has given you?
My family.
My son. Your son? Did I hear one over in here? Oh, you said family too? Okay. What else?
Freedom.
Good.
Music.
Good.
Love.
Love. Awesome.
Good health.
Sunshine. All right.
Working vehicle.
Oh, you speak as though at one point that was a point of frustration. Is that right? A working vehicle. Okay. Anyone else?
Provisions for life.
There's a big one I haven't heard yet.
Salvation.
Salvation. You see, God has blessed us in so many different ways because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to bring freedom. You know, Jesus, in His willingness to die on the cross, did that not for show, but for go. He didn't do that just to show who He was. He did it so that we could go to be with Him and have life, and to have that life more abundantly while we live here. But also that we might be prepared to be able to live in God's presence. And so in the meantime, what God has done is He has opened up for you and I wisdom that comes from His Word. And this morning, I want us to just very briefly look at some of the blessings that God gives us in a fullness of supply. All right? That's one thing I like about God, is that He's not cheap. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever met cheap people? Wives, stop pointing at your husbands. Now, quit it now. All right? But you see, God isn't that way. When He pours out a blessing, He pours it out so that we can't contain it. Do you know why He overfills our containers? So it spills out on somebody else. That's why. He doesn't pour out blessings on us to let them puddle around our feet. He pours out an over fullness of blessing on you and I that we might be able to share that blessing with others. And so I want you to notice these six things there's seven, but I'm not sure how far we'll get. We might get to two or three. I don't know. But nonetheless, we're going to look at the fullness of supply of blessings that God pours out. The very first one we find in Romans chapter 15, the 29th verse, and it's this. He gives us a fullness of blessing to enrich us. A fullness of blessing to enrich us. Listen to what Romans chapter 15, verse 29 says. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. You see, Paul is making at this point in his life some future plans to do some traveling, to visit some churches that he's planted, to be able to make connections again with various people and various groups of people. And he's excited about that. And he is excited because God has poured upon him, through Jesus Christ, a fullness of blessing. And that fullness of blessing, the apostle was not willing to hide within his own heart. But he wanted that to spill out everywhere that he went. And so he was confident in that fact. He says, and I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. The fullness of blessing. Secondly, we see that God also gives us a fullness of grace. A fullness of grace. He gives us a fullness of blessing to enrich our lives, and he gives us a fullness of grace. Look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 16. John is talking about the fact that the incarnation of Christ has taken place, that Christ has left the glory of heaven to come and to be born here on this earth. And it's right in the midst of this passage, he says this, in verse 16. John 1:16, he says, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. And grace upon grace. God pours out the fullness of grace that he might bless us. Remember, the word grace means unmerited favor. It means you can't earn it. It's unmerited. You don't deserve it. It's unmerited. But that's what makes it grace. Even though you are not in a position to deserve the grace of God, he pours it on you in order that you might be blessed and that you might be enriched. Have you ever been through those periods in your life where you just really didn't feel blessed? Yeah, we have. Come on, admit it. Yeah, we have. You ever been in those places in your spiritual life when you really didn't feel blessed? Yeah. But you know what gets you through those times? It's the unmerited favor of God. That grace upon grace that God pours out to try to help you in your walk with him. The third thing is, and we find it in John chapter 15, the 11th verses, God pours out the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy because he wants to gladden our hearts. The fullness of joy. John chapter 15, let's look at it. John chapter 15, verse 11. Just as the Father has loved me, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy might be made full. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. How many people think that God is really, really impressed with crabs? With grumps? With sourpusses? How many people view God as a crab, as a grump, as a sourpuss? No. No. God wishes that each of us have the joy of His love, the joy of His grace, spread all over us so that it shines through. Don't you just love to be around the person that has nothing good to say about anything? Don't they just bless your heart? They blast your heart. But you know, I don't think God is impressed with grumpy believers. I really don't. I don't think that Jesus came to save us so that He could make us sour. I think He came and saved us that we might have joy. And that we might be filled with the joy of God. The worship team sang a song. It was the third song today, and I strongly disagree with the theology in it, but I understand where it's coming from. But it talks about falling in love. And, you know, that's absolutely true. And that's what we do. But it's not the falling in love thing that attracts us to Christ. It is the recognition of the miserableness that we have made of our lives and the grace that God is willing to pour out on us because He loves us. Not because we've loved Him, but because He loves us. And He pours that out that we might be filled joyfully to overflowing with the amazing grace that God offers. God wants His people to be the most joyful people that can exist in this world. All right? Number four. The next area of fullness that God gives us is the fullness of His Spirit so that He may empower us. That's why God pours out His Spirit upon us. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says this, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." But be filled with the Spirit. Do you realize that you and I make the determination as to how deep we're going to go with God? Do you know that? We make that determination. We're either going to go just so far, or we're going to plunge all the way with God. And you know, the modern day church has determined they're going to go just so far because they don't want to be looked at as odd or as strange. They don't want to be looked at as killjoys. But you know what? God fills us with the essence of His Spirit, which is the Spirit of love, which is the Spirit of grace, who is the Spirit who empowers us to live righteous lives in an unholy world. That's what God wants from His people. He wants a holy people. He wants a righteous people. He wants a people who are filled with joy and peace and love and grace. But He wants a people who hunger after Him, with everything that they have. And the best way to have that hunger filled for God is to yield totally and completely so that the Spirit of Christ can fill you to overflowing with His power. You know, that's why the Spirit came. Do you remember when Jesus was talking with the disciples? The resurrection's already taken place. He's ready to go up into the clouds. And He says, I want to tell you something. What I want you to do, you're going to be able to do amazing things. You're going to go into all the world. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to make disciples. You're going to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But wait. Wait. Go into Jerusalem and wait until you are filled with power from on high. Wait until you're filled with power from on high. You know where that power comes from? From the Holy Spirit. When He not just indwells the believer, which takes place at the moment of salvation, but when He thoroughly has control, He has fully enveloped their lives. You know who controls that? Believe it or not, we do. That's why Paul issues this in the form of a command. He said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, He's saying, people, you are the ones who control how much authority God gets in your life. Submit yourself totally and completely. It's your choice. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says it's your reasonable service. That's your reasonable service. If you choose not to allow the fullness of God to indwell within you, you become a sour, bitter, frustrated individual. And God isn't able to bless you the way that He wants to. All right? The fullness of the Spirit. Okay, let's move through these next ones real quickly. The next fullness of supply that God has for us is the fullness of God to sanctify us. Look at Ephesians 3. Verse 19. Well, let's go up a little bit. Let's go up to verse 14 and read through verse 19. But I want you to notice in particular verse 19. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. The fullness of God. He wishes to fill us to overflowing, but in order to do that, He has to do some housework. He has to cleanse us. And He has to purify us, because He ain't going to live in a dirty house. Many believers today are double-minded individuals. They really are. Their focus on life is not to please God. It is just to be able to dispense Him at times of need. And as soon as the need is taken care of, they say, okay, God, now I'll take it from here. Instead of allowing Him the fullness, submit yourselves fully and completely to the Spirit of God. Let Him cleanse you and fill you, and then walk in that faith and obedience to Him, and He will honor your life. in the very last, we're going to skip one, go to the very last one, which is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Very familiar verse of Scripture. Ephesians 4:13, the fullness of supply that God gives is the fullness of Himself to satisfy us. The fullness of Himself to satisfy us. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You know what God's saying? He's saying, grow up. We need to grow up in our faith. Because it is grown up individuals who are the most effective for the kingdom of Christ. Allow the fullness of Christ Himself to overflow in your life. Let's stand. I want to thank you for being here today. Thank the team for their wonderful leading in the early part of the service. And trust that each of you, as you have your family gatherings or whatever you're doing on this holiday weekend, I trust that you'll remember to keep Christ the focal part, even of those family celebrations, so that He can enrich even those times in your lives. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for Your love for us and for Your willingness to invest Yourself in each of our lives. Father, I thank You for the grace that You give us, for the fullness of Your Spirit, and ask, Lord, that You would help us to be joyful individuals who just kind of spill out all over those that we come in contact with. Father, we do love You. We ask that Your Spirit now might cleanse the areas of our lives that are offensive to You, and that You might replace in us those offensive things with Your glory. And Father, we'll give You praise, for it's in the awesome and the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you for being here. Please give me a moment to get to the back so I can greet you, and have a great day in Jesus.